It's time again for the Scotty Johnny Podcast with your host, Scotty Johnny himself, John Barnett, and the ego himself, Cheddar Talk, Aaron Flottam. Talking Wisconsin sports, two mics, two crusty vets, two opinions, one based in reality and one based in what he read on Twitter. With music by Duluth Greats, Cars and Trucks, here's John and Aaron.
Welcome back to what is, I guess, a part two kind of episode of the Scotty Johnny Podcast. I'm your not-so-humble host, Jonathan Barnett. You can find me at not-so-humble host on Twitter. You can follow the show at Scotty Johnny Pod. And I'm also joined today, again, as per usual, by Aaron Flottam, who is at Cheddar Talk.
Aaron, what do we do with Jim?
For those of you who are somehow listening to this podcast, first, we're doing this as a two-part. Just because we have so much Packer stuff to talk about, we're crazy. Splitting off the rest of the Wisconsin sports atmosphere or landscape or whatever you want to call it, and doing that as a separate podcast. So we're going to be releasing two podcasts same day to make sure we're not shortchanging anything and to make sure we're not going into a two-hour podcast, which none of you would enjoy.
That is a great idea, John. Wow, that's intrepid.
That is exactly the word I was hoping to hear from you, Aaron. Thank you for following the script.
For emailing me all those three syllable words that I could use throughout the show, because otherwise it'd just be like dead air.
Yes. Anyhow, again, like I said, we've got all the stuff for you to follow us on Twitter. You can find the show at Scotty Johnny Pod. Or probably at scottyjohnny.com as well. And we'll get started right away with what we call our main event.
Starting things off with the main event.
Aaron, the main event today in this version of the podcast is going to start with Badger football.
Okay.
The biggest thing that happened to Badger football this week was not necessarily the win at Nebraska, where Jonathan Taylor... And I don't know that any other back has ever done this. I'm sure it has, or somebody would have told us differently, but Jonathan Taylor had his third straight 200-yard rushing game against a single team. That requires a running back to have played three times against one team and rushed for 200 yards in all three of those games.
I didn't catch that stat about that one, but crazy. Yeah, that's really weird. Okay.
He has rushed for 200 yards in all three games he's played against Nebraska. That's a ridiculous
thing. His freshman year in Nebraska was trash.
Yeah. Yeah, and now they've got Scott Frost, who, and it, oddly pointed out by Owen Reese, who you should follow him on Twitter as well, Owen Reese, great. He played college line. I can't remember where he played. He really knows offensive line. He's really good at it. He does a lot of great scouting stuff for Bucky's Fifth Quarter. He does some stuff for Acme Packing Company in terms of scouting stuff. He does go down to the scouting combine, and he goes to the Senior Bowl. That's what it is. And he gives some very good things, but he points out regularly that Scott Frost has had a single season of winning records as a college coach. As a head coach, he's had one winning season. And it sounds crazy to say that he had a 13-0 team the year before. He had a losing record. He's been at Nebraska for 2 years now. He will have a losing record. So, yeah, I don't know.
I want Nebraska to be good. I really do. I really wish Nebraska would be a good team, but I hope the best for Scott Frost too. But I mean, maybe it's going to be an Iowa situation where they just get back to relevance forever. I don't know.
Maybe I'd like to see them do something too, because I mean, I think it would be better to have a good Nebraska. I think that's something that makes all of college football better. It makes the Big Ten better. Having them be a better team is just better for the league. They're not that good right now. They've had some injuries. They lost a running back early. They lost a couple other things. But Adrian Martinez was as healthy as he's been all year against the Badgers this week. Mm-hmm. They were playing at home in front of their 374th consecutive sellout, I believe, which to put the craziness into perspective there, they pointed out in the pregame on the Badger radio broadcast with LaPe that Nebraska has the most sellouts in history. The second longest streak was 273 or 74 by Notre Dame, which is 100 less. Also, Notre Dame streak by Notre Dame, too.
I didn't think that Notre Dame would not have had a sellout at any point.
Notre Dame, by the way, didn't have a sellout last week against Navy. Number 25 ranked Navy. They didn't have a sellout last week. The streak ended. So they're more than 100 clear of anybody else. It's a great fan base. They deserve a good football team. They're nice as all get-go. I've been to Nebraska games a couple times, and I have several things to say about several different fan bases in the Big Ten. I have nothing bad to say about Nebraska fan bases. When I was at the Big Ten championship game against Nebraska, when we left, it was the most cordial atmosphere. There was no chanting or rubbing in anybody's faces when the Badgers won by an infinite amount, it seemed, that year when they ran just all over Nebraska and just destroyed them that year. Back when they were leaders and legends. And
Worst idea ever, by the way. But
yeah, it was a terrible choice. But anyhow, it was terrible. That game ended with nobody rubbing it in anybody's face, everybody walking out as friends and having a great time. That was a great, great atmosphere. Yelling for your own team but not making it personal with the other fans was fantastic. It was so much better than the year before watching Michigan State's garbage fan base come in there and just scream at people and then walk out dejected with nobody rubbing it back in their face on the way out. It was great. It was a really good atmosphere for football, and I'd like to see Nebraska be good again. I just don't want them to beat the Badgers. Pardon me. Yeah. They held on for a while in the first half. Nebraska was up 14-10, and then from that point on, just the Badgers just put the screws to them. They just they got some big plays. They made some good defensive stops. They managed to just take over the game. They got a short field on a turnover. And just took over at that point before half and got the lead. And I'll say this. I say this repeatedly to my children. I say it to my wife. I was like, anybody in college football, you can play with emotion for a half. College basketball, too. For a half, you can play with somebody you shouldn't. But in a second half of a basketball game or a college football game, even a pro football game sometimes, too, that emotion wears off. That emotion wears off, and then you're stuck playing with the fact that the other team just is more talented. Badgers wore them down in the second half. They just ran straight over them. Right. And they were the better team, and they just proved it. And another 200-yard game Jonathan Taylor. I always want to call him Jonathan Taylor Thomas. Jonathan Taylor.
Yes, that's
it. Yeah. So I've never heard of it. I can't think of it another time where somebody would have had three straight 200-yard games against one team, because it requires a weird number of things. You first off have to have been good enough to have been starting for 3 years and not have gone pro, and to get 200 yards against a single team.
Three times. I would like to think that some running back from Alabama has run for 200 yards 3 years in a row against Vanderbilt. Or something like that, because
maybe.
Oh, that's right. The bottom half of the SEC is trash, but nobody talks about that.
Oh, hot garbage.
Hot garbage, Tennessee. We're looking at you right now. So back to what you said earlier too. My biggest experience is I've spent a couple months of my life out in Camp Ashland, Nebraska, which is halfway between Lincoln and Omaha. And yeah, great fan base. Martinez, is he really a good quarterback, or is that just flash in the pan stuff, John? I want to think he is a good quarterback on a bad team.
He's a college quarterback who does the things that you need him to do in that position. He's athletic enough. He throws enough. He's not a great quarterback. He's the guy who you have now who can get enough done. I mean, sadly, what he's looking for is Blake Bortles, right?
Right, but the thing is that Patrick Mahomes is thrown off the game on all this, because that's what we thought about Patrick Mahomes when he was in college, was like, athletic enough, he's got a good arm, whatever. And then he finally gets to the NFL, and it's, whoa, what the you know, I guess that's the tipping point on that one. So I don't know. But to advance the conversation forward here, I'm glad that Badgers won and that Kinnick Stadium came alive, beat out the Gophers this week too. So the Badgers actually have, they control their fate. If they just keep winning, they're going to win the West, and then they get to go. Would they play Ohio State again in the Big Ten Championship?
Almost certainly. At this point, I think Michigan still has an outside chance, but I don't see them beating Ohio State. I don't see anybody beating Ohio State. It's basically just a chance to go out and lose to Ohio State again. But I'd rather have the Badgers get that chance than Minnesota, because I don't want to watch Minnesota play anymore.
Other it's like it's not 59 donut. That's the key essential point there. So
still,
I don't know. I watched most of the Badger game at a Buffalo Wild Wings with my 6 and 4 year old. So as you can imagine, my analysis isn't the best. I just saw Jonathan Taylor running down the field a lot, and cut a couple glimpses of Martinez who looked good. And then when I got home to dealing with a 6 and 4 year old. Not that this is lost on you because you're dealing with those and teenagers. Congratulations, John. Yeah. I watched a chunk of the Minnesota Gopher game, and it looked a lot like the Minnesota Vikings Denver game, except for they couldn't close the door, and they couldn't get it done. And I mean, Minnesota is just like, we play NCAA football 2013 or 14. Is that the last year? Yeah. Religiously on our PS3s because we're just holding on. We have to. And I actually just won the three straight national championships with Andrew Clark at quarterback.
That's really
with
good.
Wisconsin Badgers. And Andrew Clark, by the way, was my roommate out in Montana when I was a ski bum that made it all the way home from my wedding from Perth, Australia in 2013. He finally won Heisman Trophy and the Maxwell Award on his way to his third national championship. But where was I going with that one? I lost. But anyways, Minnesota was like that team on NCAA 14. It was like sooner or later they were gonna lose, and at least they had the wherewithal to lose to Iowa in Kinnick Stadium, which has been a top 10 killer over the years. And almost as a Badger fan, I would, you know, you never hear it coming out of Iowa City. You never hear them getting on Iowa or about Iowa winning a national championship. They're kind of okay with where they're at. And I kind of wish the Badgers were kind of like that. Like, just being top 10 killers every once in a while, being happy with having a above 500, getting to the occasional big bowl game. But, you know, Barry Alvarez ruined it for us. You know, he made us think that we could be great, you know, and it's as long as ESPN holds the contract for the playoff games, you know, it's going to be Alabama could be rolling 8-4 into the playoffs, and they're going to put Alabama in somehow.
Well, the secret on that is. The secret on that is that here in the Midwest, we're going to watch those games regardless of who's playing because we love football. The SEC doesn't love football. They love their own teams. If their teams aren't in it, they're not watching. So since it's a television show, they have to put the SEC in it because they won't watch otherwise. And we'll watch regardless because the Midwest loves football. I guess the one thing is... This was a game where people keep talking about this as an upset. And Iowa charged the field, which is ridiculous. Iowa's a good program. They've been good for a long time.
They were straight trolling Minnesota from the week before, though. I know they were.
Did they try to row a boat? I mean, because I don't know what else you can do. Because they're a smart fan base. It's a good school. It's, by the way, a better school than Minnesota.
They were trolling Minnesota from the week before when Minnesota charged, because Minnesota hasn't had a reason to charge the field in 100 years.
The difference was Minnesota wasn't favored in that game. That was an upset. Iowa was favored in this game.
That's why I'm saying they were trolling them. They were straight trolling the Minnesota fan base.
I don't know.
Because Minnesota charged the field for beating Penn State, which it's the whole thing about Barry Sanders handing the football to the referee when it gets into the end zone. I'm not going to spike it. I'm not going to celebrate. Act like you've been there before. Minnesota fan base the week before lost their minds because they hadn't won a big game in forever. And yeah. I strictly think that Iowa being a smart fan base was straight trolling Minnesota fans.
The greatest
moment. I hope they were, because what? Otherwise that's a bad play by Iowa, but it's a great play if they were trolling Minnesota.
One of my favorite Iowa moments ever is, because of course Minnesota and Iowa, I don't know why I said Florida, Minnesota and Iowa play for, this is probably why, because it's the Floyd of Rosedale, which is at this point a bronze pig, but it was originally an actual pig that was transferred. It was a state fair winning pig, and they play for a trophy that is a pig, and it's fantastic, and they have a good rivalry. But several years back, probably in the late 90s, Iowa beat Minnesota in Minnesota, and they were so excited that they charged the field in the Metrodome because there were so many Iowa fans there. Because Minnesota fans, the minute they're losing games, their fan base disappears and starts watching hockey, because that's a hockey state and they are not a football state. And that's fine. Just they're not a football state. And Iowa fans charged the field, tore down the goalposts, and tried carrying them out of the stadium. But, of course, the Metrodome was held up by air pressure. So, of course, the only way you can keep the pressure inside the building from being different than the pressure outside the building is by having pressure-protecting doors. So they couldn't carry the goalposts out of the stadium. So they just dropped them when they got to the doors and then just left. That's the best. Tore down Minnesota's goalposts and then just left them at the doors.
And that's why I said, John, I really believe that the Iowa fans were just making fun of the Minnesota fans for the week before. I really do.
I don't know. Big thing is, Iowa was favored to win because, and this is the part that gets me crazy about college football. Everyone in the national media said, big upset, number 8 Minnesota loses. It was a game they were supposed to lose. Everyone thought they were going to lose. Vegas told you they're going to lose. They were favored by 3 and they won by 4. It was exactly basically what everybody thought would happen. It's not an upset. They did what they were supposed to do. It turned out like everyone thought it would. Iowa's a better team and they were at home. So I don't know. That part just gets me crazy. But it gives, in that sense, the Badgers a chance. And I said at the end of the last podcast, I will be at the game this week with my two older kids and my wife. We will be watching the Purdue game. Hopefully Boiler Up goes down and we can see the Badgers get a win. And if they get a win, they can be playing Minnesota regardless of what Minnesota does against Northwestern in Northwestern. Wisconsin will get a chance to play Minnesota for a chance to win the Big Ten West.
And like I mentioned in earlier, the part one of the podcast is that I will be back home up in Turtle Lake, Wisconsin, which is an hour from downtown Minneapolis, 45 minutes from the light rail that'll take me to downtown Minneapolis. And I might consider going down if it's the Big Ten West on the line. I might consider maybe taking maybe Ruby, but you know,
heading down there
and seeing the game.
Yeah, it should be fun. Should be plenty of tickets available because Minnesota had trouble selling out a game when they were 8-0.
Yep.
9-0. They were 9-0, and they had trouble selling out the game. They had to advertise because it's Minnesota, and there was a hockey game on somewhere.
Nebraska hasn't been relevant in 20 years, and they still sell out every game. God, I love Nebraska. Bless your hearts.
That's a football state, though. That's the difference. Is they're a football state. Minnesota's not a football state. They're a hockey state, and they will
the state of hockey.
That is Aaron doing the last couple notes of the Minnesota Wild fight song. For those of you who don't know that, because that is actually a really fun fight song. It's way better than Skull Vikings, which is a bad high school fight song.
And which is also bad PR because it just skull means kill. Just so everyone knows.
I think doesn't skull mean health? Because that's what they say when they drink.
I got skull in my lip right now, and it means kill.
That's spelled differently. as well.
Yes.
So that's different. In other Badgers news, we've had a couple interesting things here. Is the Badgers basketball season got started. They got to beat Eastern Illinois, which is not impressive. They beat McNeese State Cowboys, also not impressive.
No.
They had a loss early. It started off with a 65-63 loss to St. Mary's. I believe it was on a neutral field, not neutral court. But St. Mary's, that's a good school. It's a good program. They lost a very close game to a team that was ranked.
That was in Sioux Falls, actually.
Okay. Yeah, so St. Mary's is from California, and they were ranked. That's a team that was supposed to win. And they got a 65-63 win. Reavers has looked pretty decent. The biggest thing that gets me about this team is, and I don't know if you've watched a lot of this stuff, Demetri Trice just has not gotten better, is the biggest thing that frustrates me about this team. Davison, he just kind of is who he is, right? He's a defensive player. He's a tough guy. He goes out there. He takes the charges. He's the guy everybody else hates on on the other team and loves on their own team. He's just kind of who he is. It's just going to be what goes on with him from here on out.
So, like, what's his name? Who plays for Golden State that used to play for Michigan State?
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, he's crazy, though. He actually will kick people. Davison's just a guy who just tries hard, and he's always in your face, so it always bugs people. So yeah. that's I guess, the difference there. The thing here is, though, is that, like, I really thought we'd see more from Trice. I think people thought they were going to get more from Kobe King than what they've gotten previously, though Kobe King actually played some pretty good games in the last little bit here and had a very
Draymond Green. Just so you don't look like idiots. All right, thank you.
We're still idiots, but whatever. Yeah, but getting through all of those, the Badgers get into the spot where they get this first big game that matters, which is fighting to become the best team in Wisconsin. And it gets pointed out by a lot of people. Wisco Disco likes pointing this out. And Marquette decided to tweet out the other day something about, like, good morning to everybody except at UW-Madison. So they were specifically trying to troll Badgers. Badgers then went out and beat Marquette at home. 77-61. Badgers improved to 3-1. Beating Marquette, that's an actual win. I mean, like, not beating the Sorrowful Sisters of the Poor or Immaculate Word. I mean, that's beating Marquette.
Ma-Pa's pretty good basketball team.
Yeah. So, I mean, that one is one where that's a pretty good win. You got a convincing win over what is a pretty good Big East team. Aleem Ford was 4 of 10, didn't do a whole lot. All the starters got into double digits. Also, Pritzel got into 15 points. Wall and Anderson also added a couple points at the end there each. But Reavers got 10 along with, I guess, only one rebound somehow. Aleem Ford got 7 rebounds. Trice gets 10. King gets 10. Davison gets 15. The biggest thing with Trice that frustrates me is he's basically a shooting guard and plays the point. But he doesn't pass. He just dribbles until he shoots. He's a very good handler. He's got a good handle. He can dribble the ball very well, and he can keep control of it, but he plays to just shoot. He's not a very good distributor. He doesn't get the ball to other people as well as what you'd hope for a point guard. And almost Davison might be better at that spot and let Trice just find a way to get to an open spot and hit threes. That's really the best thing he does. But holding Marquette to was it 61 points and putting up enough points there. Kobe King making some good contributions there. He crossed up a guy and just had him falling on the ground so he could get a wide open three. So it was very good. Badgers hit their shots, did what they're supposed to do. Nice win, not a great win. It's not going to be anything big once they get into Big Ten play, but it's an okay team that should be better. Trice, over the last 2 years, should have become a better player by now. And it frustrates me that he has not become that yet. But still, it's nice to get that win over Marquette, because Marquette came in and beat Wisconsin last year. I mean, they beat him in Marquette. But now the Badgers are going to go play the Green Bay UW Green Bay Phoenix in the Legends Classic regional game, trying to take out all of the Wisconsin teams. And then they will play the Richmond Spiders, my wife's favorite team, by which I mean the team she most wants to not ever see because she can't stand spiders.
So. Did Bo start out at UW Green Bay, or who was coach up at UW Green Bay?
Bennett was up in Green Bennett Bay after he went to UWSP. Bo came from Platteville.
From Platteville, that's right. Okay, yep.
So the Badgers have a couple things here after they get through Green Bay and Richmond. They're not playing Milwaukee this year, which is unusual, but they normally do. They'll play Richmond, and then they'll get into December where they will play NC State in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. Then they'll start Big Ten play playing Indiana and Rutgers. Oh, I'm sorry. Then they will play Milwaukee after that. So they normally play them all in a row. They will wait to play Milwaukee until December 21st. After Christmas on the 28th, they'll play Tennessee. So that'll be the first, you know, really big challenge for this team playing in another ranked team like St. Mary's. But it's an okay team. The thing that gets you excited is right now, currently, the Badgers recruiting class for 2020 is the eighth ranked recruiting class in the nation. The eighth ranked class.
That's good.
The biggest knock that anybody's ever had, if they've ever had a knock on guard, is that he has not brought in the sort of recruiting talent that we'd like to see at Wisconsin. Having a top 10 class, if that's the way it ends, is the most unpredicted thing that I've seen in Badger basketball, other than, I guess, getting to, well, I guess Dick Bennett's Final Four team. I didn't think that that team had any chance of getting there. We couldn't have predicted it. Bo's teams were much better, had a lot more senior talent by the time they got to the NCAA championship game. Having a top 10 recruiting class is not a thing that I thought I would see from Wisconsin in terms of basketball. Yeah. And that could be incredibly exciting to see how that goes, because actually 2020 and 2021 both look like very good recruiting classes for the state of Wisconsin. And for, well, the University of Wisconsin. I don't know about Marquette necessarily as much. I haven't followed that as well. But just kind of get through this year with that in your mind as you watch Badger basketball. Is this team is what it is. It's maybe not the most impressive or exciting thing that you've ever seen in terms of Badger basketball, but this team is going to be much better in the next year, 2 years, 3 years. Yeah.
I hope so. Yeah, full disclosure and honesty agreement here with Aaron Flott. Not up on Badgers basketball as much as I used to be. And actually, I was running through the volleyball team, but no, I did watch a good chunk. Again, with two small children, I watched some chunks of the Wisconsin Marquette game as the Gopher Iowa game was going on, and the Wisconsin Nebraska game was going on as well. And so, I mean, it's good to beat Marquette for Wisconsin. I mean, but we have to be I have to be fair between both of them. I wish both teams, my favorite NCAA finals would ever be Marquette versus Wisconsin for 1 and 2, but I mean,
yeah, and that's a thing that only a Wisconsin fan would say, because Marquette hates Wisconsin way more than we think about Marquette.
Right, exactly.
And I say we because I went to University of Wisconsin, full disclosure. We like beating Marquette. It's a big thing to be able to say that you're the best team in the state, but Wisconsin has a football program and a hockey program that are very good right now, and basketball's great. We love to see a good basketball team. We love the rivalry with Marquette. It's great to have an in-state rivalry like that in basketball. But Wisconsin does not think about it. He's just not that into you. It's a great rivalry, but the Badger fans don't think about it as much as Marquette fans do, because it's 365 days for Marquette that they think about that. And the Badgers think about it the day it happens. And then
it's like,
they move on.
It's like Vikings fans with Packer fans. You know, that's all they care about.
Something like that. So we'll move on to other basketball. We do have some Bucks stuff to report here. We've at least been watching the last little bit here. The Bucks, you know, did get that good win against the Clippers. They had some load management going on there, but then the Bucks did go out to Utah and had the tough loss to the Jazz, 103-100.
Which is like the 18th time in a row they've lost in 17th or 18th time in a row they've lost in Utah, because they only play Utah once a year. They play once at home and once out there, and the last time they won was in 2001. How crazy is that?
Jeez. Yeah, it's a tough place to go play.
Utah's had some crap teams. Like, you'd think that the Bucks would have, Bango would have pulled one out there.
Yeah. No, that's true. And that's a very good team right now, though. They've been playing very well. That team is very good at this point. The Bucks have won now four straight, though. I mean, they got to beat the Thunder, who have traded everybody away, and we're playing a mascot at center. Mm-hmm. Then they got two wins. Two of these four wins here were against the Bulls in a home and home, which I still love watching them beat the Bulls, because I hated having to watch Jordan roll through the Bucks every year, and I hated watching it, and I didn't like watching him necessarily all that much, because I didn't like watching the Bulls win. So watching them humiliated and brought low makes me happy. I don't like the Bulls.
And Giannis is absolutely on tear right now. He's 30, 15, and 10. He's just ridiculous every single night. And I promise the listeners of this podcast, as the season goes forward, I will be more diligent about the Bucks. But it's early NBA season. It's hard to, especially with football going on.
Yeah, it's tough.
Packer football, Badgers football, with the, especially like last year too, with the Brewers making a late postseason run. It's hard to pay attention to the early NBA season, but I promise you, after Christmas, I will be on top of my Bucks viewing better, and taking care of watching the stats and stuff like that. But Giannis is on a tear right now. They're number two in the East. They're a half a game behind Boston. They've had it's good so far. And we'll see how this goes going forward. So
biggest thing is they got to beat the Pacers. The Pacers are the team that they're the only current team sitting in the top eight in the East in the Central. Pacers now sit sixth place right now. They are 8-6 overall, 2.5 back of Milwaukee. And the Bucks get a big win. They win by 19. They just kind of walk away from them here. They get a chance to go to 4-0 in the division, 6-2 in the conference. Like we said 2 weeks ago when we were here before, the Bucks start off with a crazy amount of road games. It's like the opposite of the Packers schedule. The Packers start off getting a bunch of home games, getting a chance to get their feet under them with a new coach and all that. The Bucks, with kind of a veteran team, got a ton of road games. They're 7-2 as an away record, and their home record is 3-1 right now. And it's 9 games to 4 games, 9 away, only 4 at home. And getting a chance to start off 4-0 against the division, including, of course, beating Chicago twice and then Cleveland once. But, you know, also getting to beat the Pacers, which is good and helps keep the Bucks ahead of them and away from them as they move on. Winning the division is going to be good. Load management would be important. Biggest thing for this team this year is you have to have a better playoff record. And what that means is you have to get ready to beat Boston in the final. Because that's what this team is heading towards. Because, right now I'm not afraid of anyone else in the East. I guess I don't know how else you can kind of put that. You got Boston. You got Miami there somewhere, but they're not quite as good. They got Jimmy Butler now, but I'm not as worried about them, or Toronto. Philadelphia looks like they're just not. They're finding ways to lose games rather than win. Indiana, Orlando, Charlotte. Charlotte and Orlando both have losing records. Brooklyn, they're a year or two away from being anything, depending on how much Kyrie blows up that team.
Well, and of course, it's they Boston. Always have Durant is coming back at some point here.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, eventually, that's the team that you worry about, but not right now.
Yeah. And, Philadelphia is toxic too. I mean, they're a toxic team. That fight against the Timberwolves was ridiculous.
They're crazy.
If you're a real NBA team, like trying to make any inroads, like to try and do anything special, you can't have a breakdown like that. Like that was as bad as Myles Garrett smashing a helmet over top of Randolph's head. Like,
yeah, that was rough. The thing to see. I was trying to take a look too at point differential. The Bucks have the second best point differential in the NBA right now, right behind the Lakers. Lakers at 10.2, positive 10.2. Bucks at positive 9.5. Boston's a plus 8.4. Even Toronto's a plus 7.2. But it is, I just really do think this season it's going to be 82 games of just waiting to see a playoff series followed by a playoff series followed by the only thing that matters in the East, which is Milwaukee Boston.
That's
the problem with the NBA. There's a bunch of teams that do tank, and then they're done. You don't have to worry about them. Those teams are out. There's a bunch of teams that are just not good, and you just know it right off the bat. And you kind of, it's the most predictable league in sports, I guess, slightly more so than baseball. Baseball's easier to predict because the good teams are good over 162 games, which means the better teams just kind of really do pace themselves out.
Right. In baseball, it's New York, Boston, LA, and some outlier, whether it's Houston or whoever else. And in basketball, it's Boston, LA, and whoever else, you know. And yeah. The Bucks just happen to have upponed Giannis. Otherwise, they'd be just another relegated team like Memphis or Indiana or Cleveland without LeBron James. I mean, that's how it works. So that's why I said, temper my expectations. I'll get back to you. I'll be much more better about the Bucks later on this year. So
yeah, well, that's all well and good.
All the media cares about right now is the LA Lakers anyway. So it's stupid. It's like, you type in NBA. The first thing you're going to find out about is the Lakers and how Kobe Bryant was sitting sidelines when LeBron James was playing the other night, and they were dubbing each other. It's like, God, I don't care. Like, I really don't care. Like, who cares? It's really just being shoved down our throats at this point. Like, I don't care what LeBron does. I really wish there was something else at this point. And especially now with Golden State being gone, there's like no polarity to it at all. It's just all LA Lakers all the time. And I almost swore right there, but I didn't.
But you didn't, which was
good.
But
I didn't. You see what I did there? I didn't swear.
I didn't do it. It wasn't me. That's fantastic. I'm looking back at Marquette just because we are Wisconsin sports. When Marquette actually had been undefeated prior to losing to Wisconsin, but they were 2-0. They beat Loyola of Maryland, and then they did beat Purdue, actually by 10 points. So it's the Gavitt tip-off games. So, I mean, they have some things going for them. Purdue is not – they lost a bunch of people from a team that was very good last year. But, you know, they're going to have some teams to catch up with here. They're going to play Robert Morris, and then they're going to play Davidson. So – those are games they should be able to go after there and have a pretty good setup after this. All right, so that is the basically everything that we have for our major sports things. So we get into everything else that we have here in what we call our last call.
Time to look around and get your bearings. It's time for the last call.
Aaron, a couple of things I want to get to. Of course, you know, you and I love watching some hockey here. This is the fun one. Hockey. Badgers women get a chance. They go out and they didn't have games 2 weeks ago. This last week they swept Minnesota State, the Mavericks. Minnesota State in Mankato, Minnesota. It used to be Mankato State, but now they swept them. They remain number two in the women's national polls because they had the split with Minnesota a couple weeks ago. But, you know, still hanging in there, still beating up the teams they should beat and had, you know, just the one split with Minnesota to push them down. The men's team, this is actually the story I find the most interesting. They're number 15 ranked nationally after they had a split with Omaha, University of Nebraska, Omaha. As my friends from Omaha, including the best man in my wedding, said, there's the University of Nebraska, Lincoln, University of Nebraska, Omaha, UNL, UNO, otherwise known as the University of No Learning and the University of No Opportunities. But they're both actually
Omaha,
good
schools. Omaha.
They're both good schools, actually. But Omaha, they split with UNO 5-2 and then 2-5. So they were number 15 in the nation after that. The next week here, the number and previously undefeated Notre Dame Fighting Irish came into the Kohl Center. The Badgers beat them 3-0 in game one and then went into overtime at 4-4. Keandre Miller gave them a late lead 4-3. The Irish tied it up and then took a lead or a win in overtime in sudden death period of 4-on-4 there. So Badgers got a split, but it was an overtime split. And after taking Notre Dame to overtime and winning in a shutout against Notre Dame, they dropped to 16. Also, Notre Dame was number 4 and undefeated after losing their first game of the year and then going to overtime against the number 15 team. They moved up to number 3. So it is what it is. Badgers now, though, are 1-3 in conference because they got swept by Penn State. They got some other games coming up here, so they should have a chance. Number 11, Ohio State, still on the schedule. They're number 16 right now, like I said. They're going to have the rest of the Big Ten, which is currently not ranked. So meaning, you know, Minnesota, Michigan, Michigan State. They're going to have to, you know, go against some of those teams coming up here, too. Currently, Minnesota State, number one ranked team in Division One men's hockey. So that's where that starts standing off there.
Well, that's crazy.
So women are ranked number 2. Men go down to number 16, even though they won. Basically, they beat a team way better than them, and they didn't really do anything. Cole Caulfield definitely continues to play very well. Had a couple assists against Notre Dame and really helped out just an incredible freshman year he's been having so far. In terms of D3 hockey, UW Stevens Point moves up to number 3 from number 5. UW Eau Claire moves up from 8-5. So two Wisconsin teams in the top 5 right now. Stevens Point gets a sweep, moving them from 2-2 to 4-2. Eau Claire remains undefeated.
Stevens Point lost games this year?
Yeah,
they didn't lose a single game last year.
Yeah, so this last week they beat St. John's 6-4, and then they beat Bethel 5-1. They're going to start some conference play. They got River Falls and Superior coming up this next weekend. They'll be playing two road games at River Falls and at Superior coming up here. So that's where it's heading. Eau Claire, too, at an undefeated 4-0-1. That's a very good start for the current men's team over there in Eau Claire.
That reminds me, too. That's another team I need to start paying attention to is my alma mater, UW-Superior, and how bad their season's going to be.
And how bad it's going to be. Yeah, the Yellow Jackets. Fighting Yellow Jackets. In terms of women's hockey, UW-River Falls is the current number 4 ranked team in women's hockey. UW-Eau Claire is currently tied in the poll at number 6 with Gustavus Adolphus, the Golden Gusties of Gustavus Adolphus. So that rounds out our basic hockey talk there. Aaron, did you have anything? You said you were looking up. You told us during the, or at least you told me, you were talking about volleyball. I know that we're number 7. 17-5. They're number five. Yeah, they moved
up.
They're
number 5 now, and they're on top of the Big Ten, and they went into Minnesota this last week. Molly Haggerty, Dana Retke, and Sydney Hilly starred for the UW in their win over the Gophers. I'm straight reading that headline, but they are number 5 in the nation now, and a usual big Big Ten season where the Big Ten is always the best conference in volleyball, I lost track of a whole bunch of this stuff. Another thing I'll have to keep track of here going forward, but the number five, the rankings right now, Texas number one, Pittsburgh number two, Baylor number three, Stanford number four, Wisconsin, Nebraska, Minnesota, Penn State, Marquette, all backed up at 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Maybe I'm going to have to put out a tweet to John Audius from the Big 1070 in Madison, see if he wants to come on and talk about some volleyball, because he is the voice of Wisconsin volleyball.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Could maybe put some more insight into it. So the Wisconsin team is on top of the Big 10 right now. So
it's pretty fantastic.
It's what we've talked about. So there we go. I hear about it all the time because I'm down here now and I listen to the Big 1070 all the time. So I catch all the updates, and Wisconsin's having a very good season. So
another good season going on right now is Badgers were just in the regionals for cross country. Men's team finished fifth in the Great Lakes regional, which means that they move on to the national championship for another year. I'm trying to see where in the Great Lakes regional the women's team finished here, but the men's team also had the third place overall finisher and three runners, it sounds like, finished within the spot where they were named all conference or all regional. So they had a very good team again this year. They were, ninth coming in, and they were the favorites in the regional, I think, heading into this, but they ended up placing fifth. The women's team was ranked seventh heading in to the regional here. And my computer's oddly being very slow with me right now, which is making me very upset, but they should be moving on as well here. And, Wisconsin, if you don't know it, Wisconsin has a very good tradition of cross country running, not just at the Badger level, but teams like, lacrosse has a very UW lacrosse has a very strong tradition of, cross country excellence, and track excellence as well.
Point does too. Yeah, Point has a really good. Well,
Point always gets to pull from. Spash always has the best cross country teams in the state here.
Spash is ridiculous.
Yeah.
When I was coaching cross country up in Rhinelander, Wisconsin, we'd go down to regionals against them, and Spash would be like, their runners would be number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 6, and DC Everest would be 5, 7. You do the math after that. It was ridiculous. Yeah, Spash is amazing.
Yeah. So I'm looking at, in terms of the number of runners here, it looks like Michigan State finished first. Wisconsin finished third. So Michigan State, Michigan, and Wisconsin. Wow, Michigan State ended up running 2, 7, and 8 in this race. Wisconsin had 1, 3, but then 26, 31, and 39. Their top five runners placing there. But they had the top two of the top three runners in the region. So they finished pretty high in the region. They'll get to move on to the national championships as well. So another great year. I mean, volleyball, hockey, men's and women's hockey, men's and women's cross country. Another great season in terms of sports for the Badgers, for all the things, even beyond football at this point. So it's always wonderful to see that moving forward. One other fun little tidbit I want to point out here too is the championships for the high school football season are going to be this next weekend in Camp Randall. One of the stories I've been following this year is the most crazy thing is Stratford High School, the Tigers, they just this last week in the semifinal for the state championship gave up the first points they've surrendered all year.
Yeah.
They Amherst, a several-time state championship team, scored 7 points against Stratford and lost. That is the first time Stratford has surrendered any points. They will head into the, I think it's the Division IV state championship undefeated and having surrendered 7 points in an entire season. So that's a crazy stretch. In Division One, all four of the number one seeds moved on. That's was it Kimberly, Muskego, Bayport, and I'm forgetting the fourth team right now, but all four one seeds moved on. So that's pretty much as expected here. The last couple of things we want to talk about here in terms of our last call stuff, non-Wisconsin things, just kind of things we're thinking about. The Colin Kaepernick thing came up again. I think Aaron and I are mostly the same mind on this. If any team signs him, good on them and good on him. I don't wish him any ill. I'd like to see him play. And in fairness, kind of the Broncos should sign him and kind of the Bears should sign him because it's not getting worse. It's just not. So no. I'd kind of like to see him play. I don't much care if he does or doesn't. I'm not taking any of it personally. I don't have any ill will towards him. I don't have any specific animus against him. And I think that if none of the kneeling had happened, nobody would be surprised at all if he wasn't playing. And nobody would be surprised at all if he was. But the thing is that everybody's clouded by the ideas of their politics and how that lands or their personal feelings and how that goes. And as veterans, Aaron and I obviously have, you know, opinions on all this. But at the end of the day, if he can play, I hope teams give him a chance to play. He looked okay in that. And I sat and watched it because it was being streamed live through Bleacher Report and a couple other places that went to the spot where he was and the 25 teams that came to watch him play at Flowering Branch weren't. So I don't know. At this point, it's kind of a pox on both, you know, a plague on both your houses, whatever, because the NFL set this whole thing up and it was so just kind of ham-fisted kind of nonsense. And then Colin Kaepernick decided to move the entire thing an hour away, which was also kind of a weird situation on his part. I don't know what was going on here, why he was even given this weird sort of just tryout, or why he decided not to take it and go some other place, because they were going to let in even these Nike cameras to make a commercial out of the whole thing. They were going to have 25 teams, I think, at this point that were going to be there. And, you know, they're just covering their own butt too, I think. Some of these teams are just trying to say, look, we showed up. We just didn't think much of it. I don't know. I just,
well, he was claiming transparency, which is absolute.
Well, the thing that goes against the transparency, and I'll save you from trying to stop yourself from cursing here. He also didn't take any questions from media at the end of his thing. So he had a tryout. He gave a 90-second speech and then refused to take questions. So if he's going to do transparency, he wasn't good at it.
Right.
But
he does. And here's the thing is too, it's like what's really maddening about all this is that we agree with Stephen A. Smith, that was an old commander I had in the guard. Anyways, but Stephen A. Smith said the exact same thing we've been saying forever. He doesn't want to be signed by a team. He is still playing this martyr card. He doesn't want to be a backup quarterback anywhere. He could be a backup quarterback in the NFL anywhere, but he doesn't want to be. He wants to be a starter. And everyone just remembers him in the Super Bowl. Nobody remembers the fallout after that when Alex Smith overtook him as the starting quarterback once again for the, and he was 1-10. Nobody remembers Gabbert
beat him for quarterback too.
What's that?
Gabbert beat him out at quarterback
Him out at quarterback too. He was a terrible quarterback on the way out. Yeah, he had his moment in the sun when he was running all over the place with the San Francisco 49ers. The kneeling
with the best defense in football at the time too.
Right.
It helped.
The kneeling thing didn't start until he became a crap quarterback. And since then, he does not want to be signed as a quarterback. That would damage his image.
I can't say what goes on in his mind. I'll say that does get me on this is that at the end of the day, first off, he did this whole thing and he refused to take questions. And he says it's transparency, but then he refused to take questions. And the other thing is, on his way out, he made a whole bunch of things calling all the owners cowards and then hoping that one of them will sign him. You don't why are you calling them cowards? I don't know that he doesn't want to be signed. I know that he's taking all the wrong steps you would do if you wanted to be signed at this point. At this point, I mean, they're billionaires who have very fragile egos. You can't attack their egos, and he knows that. He knows that. He has to know that, or somebody who's on his team has to tell him that.
If you were unemployed and trying to find a job, like, let's just put that into perspective for 1 second, just as a normal everyday individual on the street, would you go into your interview demanding things?
I would definitely not call anybody a coward for not hiring me.
Right. I don't want the Packers to hire him. Hell no, not in a second. No, that would be detrimental to the team. I hope that some trash team that is on their way out, down and out, does actually sign him and bring him in and let him play and let him look like crap.
Well, here's the thing. The Dolphins would be better with him. The Bears would be better with him. The Broncos would be better with him. The Broncos right now, they don't even have Flacco starting. They got Anderson or Allen or whatever. Oh, I don't even remember his first name because I've never heard of this kid. And I watch a lot of college football, but I don't know who they're starting. I watched the Viking game, and I just know his name is Allen.
Wisconsin. Yeah, okay, yeah, sure.
That so I don't know. I was just like, whatever, man. You don't think – I mean, coming into this week, the Broncos have been terrible, but they were two games out of the playoffs. Two games out of the playoffs in a bad AFC, because the AFC is just not that good this year. And they had a chance to say, like, look, if you go get him – you're not that great anyhow, but he's a chance to do something to put you over the top there. And they've taken chances on quarterbacks before. This is a team that started Tebow. Let's not forget that Tebow won playoff game for this team.
And Elway's lost his mind, so why not? You know,
nah, whatever. He's gotten lucky in a couple of things. I don't think he's that good of a determination. Like, he's not a guy who makes good determinations on player personnel, especially a quarterback, because I don't think he really...
That's perfect, then. Yeah. Bring him in.
Well, I think they'd be better with him. I mean, he doesn't need to be that great, and I think that on the way out, yeah, he was not that good.
I don't think they would be better with him. I think that he's probably worse than the other kid that's playing right now.
He could at least keep the ball moving and do some other things. They could maybe open up some stuff. I don't know. I think they can't be worse than this kid whose first name I don't know.
He's played football recently.
I'll give you that, but what are you going to do? I mean,
like, what's Kaepernick going to do? It's going to take him at least 6 weeks.
I know, you're the Broncos. Nothing's going right on this team anyhow. Why not take a chance? Why not take a chance if you're the Broncos?
I hope so. I really do. I really hope that somebody takes a chance just so he gets exposed. I really do. Because then it's going to be the backpedaling.
The big thing is, you got teams like the Packers.
Baltimore did offer him a contract. What was it, last year or the year before?
I don't know.
He didn't want to be the backup. He wanted to be the starter. You're not going to come into the league and be a starter right now. You weren't a starter when you left the league.
The last game he was in, he was the starter. He did pass Gabbert at the end of that year. I mean, he didn't win at all, but wins aren't really a quarterback stat. He was an okay guy. He was a guy, which, again, if there wasn't anything else around him, like I said, you wouldn't be surprised if he was on a team. You wouldn't care because whatever, Driscoll is starting a game right now, and he maybe for a while. But at the same point, if he was out of the league, you wouldn't also care if there wasn't anything political about him. And you can't look at this without it being political almost at all. I think most people can't. But that's the thing, is I don't have any problem with him playing.
He was political in what he did. He had a tryout with the NFL and then changed it within hours before to go somewhere else. That is a political move. He's making political moves.
Yeah, he wants to control the narrative.
That's what that is. And then not to answer questions afterwards, that is a political move. He is doing this all politically. He's not doing this as a football player. He's doing this as a figure. It's two completely different things. Like, give the guy a shot. Yeah. As long as he's willing to just take a shot to get back into the league. It's like, I'm all for Colin Kaepernick coming back into the league. I don't give to anyways, but he's not doing it. He's not.
The only place I can see is
he's the one that is making it political at this point. Like, he wants it on his terms, the way he wants things to do things. The NFL owners are cowards, and as you mentioned, they have fragile egos, and beyond that, but you can't have it on your terms. Like, if you want to make a point, you do whatever you can to get back into the league and prove them all wrong. You don't sit here and banter and do this. That's why I am under the assumption that he doesn't want to be a quarterback in this league. He just wants to be a martyr at this point. And I watched all the same film you did. And you know what? Yeah, great. He made some throws. He made some 50-yard bombs to some.
But he didn't make all of them.
High school wide receivers. It was great. Whatever, you know, but it was not game film. It's not like some kid coming out of college. It's not like some undrafted quarterback coming out of college that actually has game film against Old Dominion or something like that. He has nothing. He's on a high school quarter. He's on a high school field in Alabama, hucking balls 50 yards downfield. And John, I hate to tell you this, but I did the same thing on a high school field when I was in high school, hucking 50-yard balls to guys that were running down the sidelines on fly routes. I did that. Like, I could throw that far. That's not that big of a deal. There's tons of flag football quarterbacks out there now that can make the same throws not under pressure. Like, it's not – there's guys with greater – hell, Jamarcus Russell could probably still make that same throw off his knees.
That's true. I was going to say, Brett Favre could go out tomorrow and throw 60 yards.
Right.
And you shouldn't play him or sign him. He can't do the other things. But I don't know about the other things. Yeah, he is. But that's the thing. It's like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on in his mind. I know he's doing it. I know he's doing it badly. If this is what he wants is to play, he can't skip the thing where all the teams are, go to a place, refuse to take questions, and then call all the owners cowards.
It'd be different if Nike wasn't paying him however many million dollars a year.
Well, he also left the Nike camera crew because they were back at the other place because they didn't know either. So they were going to film a commercial for him, and apparently they weren't there either, I don't think. So, at the end of the day, if you're Miami or Denver or Tampa, possibly Carolina, maybe even the Colts as a backup – that's fine. I have no problem with him signing him. I don't have as much of a problem with the Packers signing him, because if you send him to like Green Bay or somewhere like New England, the biggest thing is those are two of the places where you can send him where nobody's going to be claiming that he should be starting. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of places, the biggest problem you have is that people are going to call out right away that he should be starting. That won't happen in Green Bay. That won't happen in New England. That won't happen in Kansas City. It might happen in Minnesota, who knows, depending on the week. But those places, he'd be all right as a backup if he wants to be a backup. They'd be fine with it because nobody's going to want him to start there. He's not going to get any game footage, so it's not going to help him at all, but he could be in the league there. But yeah, who knows?
There could be a team that would float him a pretty lucrative deal as a backup, and he would say no and say,
you know what?
I am not being allowed the chance to start in the NFL.
If the NFL were specifically blackballing him, there's no chance that Bill Belichick doesn't step in and sign him just right. to troll the NFL.
He took three chances on Josh Gordon, for Christ's
sake. Well, and he also hates the NFL.
Took a fourth chance on him.
And he would do it to troll the NFL, to tell him, like, you don't tell me what to do. So, I don't know.
Kareem Hunt got another chance in Cleveland. I mean, seriously, man.
Yeah, no, that part is crazy because what he did was a criminal. So, anyhow, that's kind of where we're going to end it for this week. Thank you for joining us on another Scott and Johnny podcast. This one was, of course, the second one in a series. We're releasing two today. It's been good to have you along with us, especially our Belarusian friends, our Ukrainian friends, our friends in Germany, and of course Austria, and
throw to the shrimp on the barbie, Austria.
Yeah. and, you know, Washington and California, where we seem to have a fairly large following as well.
But anyhow, Washington State or Washington, D.C.?
State, the state of Washington. Thank you again to everybody for joining us. You can follow me at Scotty, or you can follow podcast at Scotty Johnny Pod on Twitter. You can follow me at Not So Humble Host. You can follow Aaron at Cheddar Talk. And remember again, whether you are on the town or on the go, that is always on Wisconsin.
I didn't come over here. Hey.
This has been the Scotty Johnny Podcast. Remember to find the boys on Twitter.